together. Me too. Your mom still hates me. He straightened and made a noise in the back of his throat.
You and me both.
That's a problem.
No, it's not.
You say that now, but she's your mom. You love her. You don't want to make her unhappy.
Are you saying I have to choose?
I'm not, but she might. She held up a hand. Stephen, I really don't want to lose you, but I also don't want to make trouble.
He put down his lemonade and shifted on the blanket so he could lower her to the ground. As he bent over her, he smiled.
Zoe, you're sweet. Thank you for that. Let me be clear. I'm in love with you.
Her mind went totally blank. She couldn't speak, could barely breathe. He loved her? He loved her!
One corner of his mouth turned up.
Yeah, it shocked the hell out of me, too.
When she opened her mouth, he touched his fingers to her lips.
Don't say anything back. I want you to think about it. I want you to think about us and what we could be together. I love you. I want to be with you. I want to be a part of this baby's life and all the other babies you have. I have a lot of plans for us. But first, you have to be sure. So take all the time you need.
She wanted to tell him that she loved him too, but understood what he was saying. They both had to be sure she wasn't just reacting to his wonderful declaration. She kissed him. This probably means I could get some right now. He started to laugh.
It probably does. Is that what you want?
Always.
This is desire.
Jen smiled at the young woman standing beside Lucas.
Seriously? Desire? Nice to meet you.
Desire, a platinum blonde who was maybe 22, dimpled. Lucas has told me so much about you and your little boy. We're very excited to babysit tonight. Knowing how well Lucas and Jack got along, Jen thought that might actually be true. But she was surprised that her husband's partner wanted to include babysitting a 21-month-old in his dating repertoire. Still, Kirk's last-minute suggestion they go out to dinner had left her scrambling for childcare. She'd been about to talk to Rose at the daycare place to see if one of the childcare providers could fill in when Kirk had offered Lucas. Jen knew that a short 3 months ago, she would have thrown herself off a cliff before letting Lucas anywhere near her son. Now she knew better. Lucas followed Desire into the house. As he passed Jen, he leaned in and whispered,
"I promise we won't have sex in front of him."
She laughed. "I actually believe you on that. I don't care if you drink, but no cigars in the house."
"Agreed. What about TV?"
"No porn."
Lucas chuckled. "Not my style, but thank you for the clarification."
He studied her for a second.
"You're looking good."
She brushed the front of her dress. "Thank you. I haven't worn this in a while."
"No, I meant you, not the dress. How are you feeling?"
"Good. Better. Thank you for all your..." He shook his head.
"Don't go there, Jen. Don't thank me. We're family. This is what we do for each other, okay?"
"Then I won't thank you, but can I at least set you up with a woman in her 30s? Just once? You could try it." He winked.
"Maybe in a few years, when I'm older."
She groaned. "Fine. I'm going to go finish getting ready. Kirk's in the shower. We should be out of here in about 20 minutes. She turned as Jack came running into the living room. He took one look at Lucas and shrieked happily, then held out his arms. Lucas picked him up and swung him around.
"Hey, look at you, my man. You're so big."
He drew Jack against his chest.
"Jack, this is Desire. Can you say hi?"
"Hi,"
Jack said with a smile.
"Pretty."
Desire smiled. "Thank you. You're very charming." Jen did her best to enjoy the moment. She occasionally heard Jack talking. He still wouldn't talk directly to her, but that was okay. Annoying, but okay. "Give us a few minutes," she called, as she went down the hall toward the master. She'd done her makeup earlier and curled her hair. All she had to do was put on lipstick and her shoes. Kirk should be out of the shower by now, and she'd barely stepped into the bedroom when her husband grabbed her and pulled her close. With one hand, he closed and locked the door.
With the other, he reached for her breasts. At the same time, he claimed her with a deep kiss that had her bones melting. "What are you?" she managed between kisses.
"God, I've missed you. Missed us."
It was only then that she realized he was completely naked and aroused. Still kissing her, he backed her up toward the bed. She went, willingly, grateful she hadn't put on dressy jeans for their night out. She only had to unzip her dress for it to fall to the floor. He immediately had her bra off, and she pushed her panties to the floor. Then they were on the bed, and he was touching her everywhere. Hunger burned. She stroked his back and tangled her legs with his while he rubbed her breasts, before easing his hand between her legs. His fingers found her clit, and in seconds, she was breathing hard. They continued to kiss, tongues rubbing, arousing. She supposed she should care that Lucas and Desire were out in the living room, that Jack was still awake. But screw it, she thought, then giggled at the double entendre.
What?
Kirk asked. I love you, she told him, and pushed him onto his back. He sucked in a breath.
You on top?
It was his favorite position, one she rarely wanted to do for an assortment of reasons that all seemed really stupid right now. He liked it, she came faster, and who cared if she bounced around like a fool? Sex wasn't supposed to be dignified, right? Me on top. She straddled him, then lowered herself onto him. He felt her so deeply she groaned. He reached for her breasts and squeezed her tight, sensitive nipples. She lowered her hand so she could rub between her legs, even as she raised and lowered herself on his erection. It didn't take long, she thought, barely able to breathe as she went from take me to I'm coming in less than a minute. The combination of his hands and hers, his dick and her circling herself, pushed her right to the edge. She opened her eyes and saw him watching her.
Do it, he growled. Come on, Jen. Let me see you come. All of it.
She moved faster and faster, rode him up and down, then gave in to the inevitable. She cried out as she came, her muscles contracting around him. She kept her eyes open the whole time, letting him see what he'd asked. All of her. All of them. She stopped touching herself and leaned forward, bracing herself on her hands. He moved to grip her hips. Her climax continued, lighter now, with only the internal stimulation. He moved faster, harder. Their eyes locked until he, too, lost himself in the pleasure. When they were done, he rolled her onto her side.
You're so sexy, he whispered. I've missed you.
I've missed you, too. She smiled and kissed him, then looked at the clock. 4 minutes. I'm not sure that's a personal best for us, but it's close. He chuckled and hugged her. She held on to him. I want to do this more, she whispered into his chest, listening to the rapid beating of his heart. A lot more.
Me too. I love you.
I love you too. He smiled at her.
I'm starving. Ready for dinner?
Yes, but we should probably get dressed first. Kirk laughed.
You might be right.
Pam arrived 10 minutes early for her meeting with Felia, but the other woman was already there. Pam took one look at Felia's anguished face and knew the news wasn't good. Before she could say anything, she noticed Felia's 10-year-old daughter sitting next to her. Felia rose. I'm sorry. Marta asked to come with me, and I didn't want to refuse her. I like that she's interested in my business. She won't be any trouble. I hope that's all right. Of course it is, Pam told her gently. There's a conference room next to my office. She can sit in there and be perfectly safe while we're talking. It only took a few minutes to get Marta settled. Pam led Felia next door and positioned her chair so Felia could see her daughter through the glass walls of the conference room. Pam sat at her desk. Tell me, she said, knowing Felia had set up meetings while Pam was gone. The banks turned me down. The second one wouldn't even make an appointment with me. They said I didn't qualify. Color stained her cheeks. I work hard. Sometimes I work 7 days a week. I know what I'm doing. I'm a good risk. I started with nothing, and I built my business into what it is today. I don't understand. Is it because I'm a woman? That I wasn't born in this country? What is it?
I don't know, Pam said honestly. I'm sorry you went through this, and I'm really sorry I wasn't here.
Not every client got every loan they applied for, but they usually got a meeting and some consideration.
I'm not giving up. I hope you feel the same way.
I'm not. I'm determined.
Good morning, Pamela.
Pam looked up and saw Miguel in the open doorway to her office. He was so unexpected, and he looked so good. Her heart fluttered. Her mouth went dry. She knew she couldn't speak, so it was for the best that he glanced from her to Felia and shook his head.
My apologies. I didn't know you were with someone. I'll come back.
She hadn't seen him since before the cruise. She didn't know why he was here now, but she wanted to make sure she had a chance to talk to him.
Should I leave? Felia asked.
No,
Pam and Miguel said together.
Miguel nodded.
I'll wait, if that's all right.
It is.
Pam waited until he was gone before turning back to Felia. She gave herself a single heartbeat to hope that his appearance meant he hadn't completely given up on her, then pushed him from her mind so that she could focus on her meeting.
I'm so sorry for the interruption.
Felia smiled.
Your friend is a very handsome man. I feel as if I've seen him before.
He gets that a lot. Now, about your determination.
I'm very determined. I'm worried about getting a loan, but I'm not giving up. So many people have told me I can't over and over again, that I couldn't come to America, that I couldn't start a business, that I couldn't make it successful. All my life I was told I dreamed too big, but I was raised to be strong and to believe in myself. I'm going to make this happen.
I know you are, Pam told her, impressed by Felia's resolve. Those banks were just the first round. We have many more options. I want to try the Mischief Bay Credit Union next. They like to make loans in the community. There were also grants and the angel funds, but Pam had to make sure that conventional funding had been attempted first.
Now that I'm back, I'll come with you to your meetings.
I'd appreciate having you there, Felia told her. Thank you so much. As soon as you get me the information, I'll set up the appointment.
Give me 2 minutes. I'll go pull the forms right now. She walked back to the file room where they kept the information on banks and credit unions. Pam found the files on the one she wanted. As she walked back to her office, she saw Miguel talking to Felia's daughter.
No, not talking, she realized with a start.
He was letting the girl paint his fingernails.
The sight of the strong, handsome man of the world with the little girl melted her heart. It also gave her hope. Hope she hadn't realized she'd been wishing for. Not that she was ready to get involved with Miguel romantically. Only she did want to see him and talk to him, and, well, if he kissed her again, that might be all right, too.
She returned to Felia, and they went over the various forms. While Felia would submit them online, Pam wanted to make sure she understood everything the credit union was looking for. 30 minutes later, Pam hugged Felia.
I'm with you, she promised. However long this takes, I'll be with you and we'll make this happen.
Thank you.
They went through to the conference room. Pam smiled when she saw that Marta had used some kind of glitter polish on Miguel's nails.
Oh, no,
Felia sounded mortified. I'm so sorry. You're going to need nail polish remover to get that off.
I don't have any with me, but I can certainly pay for some.
Miguel winked at her.
I like it, he said, his voice teasing. Don't worry. I have a daughter, too. I can handle this.
Felia left with her daughter. Pam waited until they were gone before ushering Miguel into her office.
I have nail polish remover at home, she said,
trying not to focus on the incongruity of the broad-shouldered man with the pink, glittery nail polish.
So do I, he told her. Actually, I have some acetone in the garage, which is about the same thing. Don't worry about it.
He glanced toward the door.
Is she all right?
While Pam appreciated his concern about Felia, she couldn't discuss a client.
She's fine. How are you?
A statement more polite than the, I wasn't sure I ever expected to see you again, which was what she was really thinking, along with, wow, I missed you so much more than I thought I would.
I'm good.
You had a nice cruise?
Yes. The weather was perfect, and my friends and I enjoyed seeing the sights. His dark gaze settled on her face.
Thank you for the text. I'm glad I was on your mind, however briefly, Pamela.
The words spoken in his low velvet voice made her squirm. She honest to God didn't know what to say, or think, or feel. He confused her on so many levels. Plus, there was the whole Zoe situation, which was starting to seem less clear than it had been.
You have something on your mind, he told her.
I'm not sure why you're here. You're the one who walked out. One shoulder raised and lowered.
I did. You were being unreasonable, so rather than fight, I left.
Do you always walk away when you're upset? He smiled.
Men don't get upset, Pamela.
Fine. Do you always walk away when you're angry?
No, I stay and fight.
But you didn't. You left. A fact that had upset her more than she'd realized at the time. I'm sure it's very satisfying to be the one who simply gets to walk away, but it's not fair to the other person. I thought we were friends.
Did you?
She suddenly felt stupid. Had she made a mistake? Was he simply toying with her? Why are you here, Miguel?
You reached out to me when you were in Europe. I want to do the same, now that you're home.
She thought about her email from Zoe, the one that had made her feel so bad about herself and the situation. Had she been wrong to assume it was best for Stephen to break up with Zoe? She wanted him to be the father of any child he was involved with. She wanted him to know what that was like. How was it possible to love Chad's baby as much as his own?
I can hear you thinking from here, Miguel said.
I'm hoping you can't hear what I'm thinking.
Unfortunately, no.
It's for the best. Trust me on that. My mind is a confusing place.
Then let me help by clarifying a few things.
All right. Although it's difficult to take you seriously while you're wearing glitter nail polish.
I trust you're up to the task.
He studied her for a second.
Zoe is my daughter, and I love her very much. I won't choose between the two of you, just like you won't choose between me and Stephen.
Of course not.
Then there's only one solution.
She nodded, shocked at how much disappointment she felt. She barely knew Miguel. She shouldn't care if they ever saw each other again. And yet she was upset to know that she would never have the opportunity.
You'll have to get over your unreasonable stance on what's happening.
She felt her mouth drop open. Excuse me? He didn't say anything, leaving her to close her mouth and consider what he'd said. You want me to change my mind?
I want you to be reasonable. Not just for me, Pamela, for yourself as well. Stephen and Zoe are still together.
Something she would know if she and Stephen were currently speaking. They'd never not been close, she thought regretfully. She didn't like that Miguel knew more than she did about what was happening with her son. He rose.
Think about it. I believe you have the heart of a lioness. You will protect your children with all you have. But sometimes the right thing to do is nothing. We have to let them grow and make their own mistakes. Perhaps they are meant to be together, perhaps not. Only time will tell. What I do know is that giving ultimatums helps no one. I hope you'll agree with me on that.
She gave the tiniest of nods.
Good. Then I hope I will see you soon.
Before she could ask him what he meant, he walked out of her office. She glared at the place he had been, then deliberately turned away. Annoying man. I don't need you in my life. Only the words didn't ring true, and Pam was left with a sense that something very important was missing. If only she could figure out what. Chapter 23 Meerkats, Jen said firmly as they passed through the entrance of the Los Angeles Zoo. I love the meerkats.
They're lazy, Lucas told her. They've gone Hollywood. What happened to standing at attention to protect each other in the...
He frowned.
What are they, a herd?
Kirk laughed.
That's grazing animals, my friend. Yeah? If you're so smart, what are a group of meerkats called?
Kirk looked at Jen. She laughed as she pushed Jack's stroller. I didn't start this.
she protested with a grin. I just want to see them.
They're a mob or a gang, Desire told them. The babies are called pups, so they're not cats at all.
She dimpled. I used to watch Meerkat Manor when I was little. Jen moved close to Lucas.
Uh-oh, she's smart.
How on earth did that happen? You must be horrified. And here I thought the two of you might last a month.
You are such a smartass, he whispered back, then sighed. Damn, I hate it when they're secretly smart.
Imagine the nightmare if she was also secretly old.
Not a chance of that. I make sure to check their driver's license early on.
Now you're going to also have to ask for SAT scores, or maybe just their high school GPA.
Dating is such a pain.
But necessary if you want to get laid. You could start using call girls. He pressed a hand to his chest.
I don't pay.
Oh, honey, you're so paying for what you're getting. It's your own personal underground economy. He chuckled and moved back to Desire's side.
My point being, he said as he took her hand, the meerkats used to do their on guard thing. Now they just lie in the sun and wait for audition calls. The zoo should fly raptors over the enclosure and put the fear of God into them.
I believe that would be the fear of death, Jen corrected. Unless you think God is a raptor. Kirk put his arm around her.
She got you, bro.
He kissed her cheek.
And here I thought today was going to be a good day,
Lucas grumbled. They made their way up the wide path toward the meerkats. The morning was sunny and warm, the zoo relatively quiet on a Thursday. Jen was happy to spend time with her husband and son on a rare day off for Kirk. Having Lucas and Desire along was fun, too.
You're getting along better with Lucas, Kirk said quietly. I'm glad.
He's grown on me, she admitted. He's like the big brother I never had. She rolled her eyes. He has hideous taste in women, but that's okay. One day he'll wake up and see the light. Kirk dropped his hand to her butt and patted it.
Or find himself alone. We'll have to build an apartment for him over the garage.
He'll need one of those automatic chairlift thingies, she said with a laugh, so he can get up the stairs. They reached the meerkat exhibit. Jen took Jack out of the stroller and held him in her arms.
Oh, can I? Desire asked.
Sure. Jen passed him over. Desire and Lucas walked closer to the exhibit. Jen could hear the 20-something talking to Jack. Her son chatted back.
He still won't talk to me, she said, trying not to take it personally.
I know, it will happen eventually. I created the problem and I have to fix it by being patient.
Kirk shifted her so she was facing him, then put his hands on her hips and drew her close.
You didn't create the problem, it just happened.
You're sweet. A liar, but sweet. She stared into her husband's eyes and felt the love swelling inside of her. You're a really good guy. I'm lucky to have married you.
Yes, you are, and I'm lucky right back.
She smiled and they kissed. When they drew apart, she turned to look at Desire and Jack. So much had changed in the past few months. I need to go back to work, she said, returning her attention to Kirk. I've talked to my old principal, and there should be a spot for me in September. One of her teachers is going to have a baby this fall and wants a year off.
Are you sure? You've really liked staying home.
I have, but it's been hard on me, too. I'm making progress. I want to keep it that way. I think working for the year will be good for me. We can save money and we have a great daycare place for Jack.
She raised her eyebrows. We can work on getting me pregnant around the end of the year.
I think it's time for that second baby, don't you? He smiled.
I do, very much. I want a girl.
That would be between you and your sperm. I'm simply the vessel. He chuckled.
We should probably keep practicing on the whole baby-making front, just to make sure we're doing it right.
I would love that.
Me too.
She stepped toward Jack. He was trying to say the word meerkat fairly unsuccessfully. When he saw her, he reached for her. Are you having fun? She asked. Do you like the meerkats? Rather than say yes, he waved his arms in his happy way, communicating the message without words. Jen drew in a breath and refused to give in to frustration or guilt. Jack could talk. That was what was important.
The kids' section next, she said. We're going to Muriel's ranch. It's a petting zoo. We can brush the Nigerian dwarf goats.
Someone's been on the internet, Lucas said.
Yes, I have, because it's okay that I'm smart. I love little goats. Desire clutched her hands in front of her. The way they jump all around and their little tiny hooves. It's magical. If I had to come back as an animal in my next life, I'd want to be a little goat. Or a kitten. Or a walrus, because nobody cares if a walrus gets fat. Or a dancing horse. That would be great. Jen leaned close to Lucas. Maybe less smart than we thought.
I can only hope.
He moved next to Desire and continued the animal reincarnation discussion with her. Jen thought about all he'd done for her and for Kirk. She knew her husband had been kidding about his partner moving into an apartment above the garage, but she hoped whatever happened, they would always be close. Over the past few months, Lucas had become a part of their family. He had been there for both of them, and she knew they would always be there for him. She had a feeling that when Jack reached his "I hate my parents" stage of being a teenager, Lucas would be someone he could turn to. And even then, she would still worry about Lucas being the wild one in the relationship. A quality kind of problem, she thought happily, as they crossed into Muriel's ranch.
I see goats! Desire cried out.
At least it's not dead people, Kirk murmured, and Jen laughed.
Zoe stretched out on a chaise in her father's backyard, Mariposa on her lap. She played with the little dog's silky ears and let the sun warm her body. She was in a good place, she thought, with more than a little surprise. Yes, she was pregnant, and who could have seen that coming? She was also still up in the air about her future, but she was making progress and, well, there was Stephen, who said he loved her. She still hadn't said the words back. She'd tried after they'd made love, the last time she'd seen him, but he'd told her to wait. To be sure. With everything going on, he didn't want her to feel pressured, which only made her love him more. Her dad walked out with a pitcher and two glasses, then settled on the chaise next to hers.
Herbal tea, he told her. Organic. For what this costs, I could have bought a steak.
I'm allowed to eat steak, she said with a grin.
Very funny. You need to appreciate the fact that I'm not drinking coffee in front of you.
I do. Very much. She smiled at him. You're very good to me. In fact, everyone is being really nice to me. This getting pregnant thing has an upside.
Very funny. I'm always good to you.
Yes, you are. She took the glass he offered her. Mariposa raised her head as if expressing interest. Zoe laughed. You would so not like this little girl. She held out the glass. Mariposa took one sniff, then visibly recoiled and eyed her. The message was clear. How on earth could you drink that stuff? She would have liked the steak as well, Zoe teased.
I'm sure that's true. Miguel stretched out on the chair next to her. What have you decided?
I'm keeping my job and I'm signing up for grad school. I should be able to take at least a couple of classes over the summer. I'm not sure about fall. I would be really close to my due date, but maybe I could take one class and arrange to take the final early. A decision she didn't have to make today, she told herself. My attorney is working on the parenting plan. I hope to have that to Chad by the end of the month. Stephen's going to paint the baby's room for me.
Has Chad proposed again?
No. I think he feels he did his duty, and now he can move on. She glanced at her father. You're not going to pressure me on that again, are you?
No. I'll let it go. He looked at her. Because you're my favorite daughter.
I'm your only daughter.
That too. And because you've convinced me Chad wouldn't make you happy.
His gaze intensified.
I want to pay for graduate school, and I don't want you to argue about it.
Dad, no.
His brows rose. This would be you arguing.
I know. And while I appreciate your generous offer, I'm paying for my own grad school. I'm a big girl. I can afford it.
You have to save for the baby. What about college?
Do you know the baby's the size of a radish?
Radishes grow up and need to go to college.
Fine. Then put my grad school fund toward that. He drew his brows together, then relaxed.
All right, I will. But if you need anything, I'm here.
I know. Thank you.
She drank more of her tea.
I can't decide if I want you to have a girl or a boy.
Which was just so like him. You do realize you, in fact, don't get a say?
I understand basic biology, yes.
He reached for her hand.
I wish your mother were alive to see this.
The unexpected words made her eyes fill with tears. She squeezed his fingers. Me too.
She would be so happy.
Zoe nodded. Then she would go beat the crap out of whoever made the mistake at the pharmaceutical company.
I would join her in that.
Zoe was going in another direction. She'd already been approached by several attorneys representing other women who were also dealing with unexpected pregnancies from the faulty shots. While she was fortunate enough to be in a position to deal with her situation, she knew there were other women whose lives had been completely shattered by what had happened. The only way to make sure that sort of thing didn't happen again was to band together. She released her father's hand.
What else is new?
She asked, mostly to distract him. Have you seen Pam since she's been back?
How did you know she was back?
I knew the dates of her trip.
I told her she had to make peace with you before I would see her again.
Because you're all that and she'll change her mind for you?
Zoe spoke lightly in an effort not to let him know how much Pam's reaction still stung.
Telling herself over and over again that Pam was right to protect her son didn't take away the hurt of having someone she considered a friend reject her. It seemed to her that middle ground wouldn't be all that hard to find, but Pam wasn't interested in that.
I am all that, as you put it, but that isn't the reason she'll change her mind. She's a good person. She'll figure out what she's doing is wrong. When she does, will it be too late?
You mean, will I hold a grudge?
Yes.
I'm less sure about her seeing my side of things than you, but yes, if she stops seeing me as the devil, I want to be friends with her.
Thank you.
She smiled. No offense, Dad, but I'm not saying that for you. I'm saying it for me. I need to be able to let go. It's the right thing to do and best for the baby.
I still get to be proud of you if I want.
She smiled. Later I'll finger paint some flowers, and you can hang them on the refrigerator.
Now you mock me.
Only with love, I swear. Over the next week, Pam kept busy. She went with Felia to her appointment with the business loan specialist at the credit union. The meeting had gone well. Felia had received preliminary approval, with final approval to be decided in the next few days. As all Pam had done was sit quietly while Felia spoke, she knew she couldn't take credit for anything except providing moral support. Still, Felia was thrilled, and Pam couldn't wait to be there for the grand opening of her expansion. Pam tended her container garden, texting pictures of her thriving bush monkey flower to Ron at the nursery. His quick reply of, "I'll never doubt you again," should have been satisfying, but wasn't. Mostly because she couldn't seem to settle in her life. Or maybe her skin. It was all Stephen's fault, she thought as she drove to her daughter's house. Or Zoe's. It was the two of them together. Whatever had she been thinking when she'd set them up? From what Pam could glean, the two were as close as ever, which meant Stephen hadn't taken her advice. He also wasn't speaking to her. Not really. Oh, sure, he would respond if she texted him, but he hadn't been by to see her since her return, and they hadn't spoken on the phone. She knew she could invite him over, but in her heart of hearts, she was terrified if she asked, he would say no. So instead, she went to see Jen, who at least was still speaking to her. Jen answered the door with a smile. Perfect timing. She held up her flower-covered hands. I'm trying to knead bread, and it's not going well. Jack is thirsty. Could you get him some juice, please? Of course. Or I could knead the bread for you. I have to conquer it. Dough is not going to get the best of me. Pam and Lulu walked inside. Jack lit up when he saw them and ran over. He held out his arms and cried, Grandma! Pam swept him up into her embrace. Hello, Jack. How are you?
Good.
He pointed at the dog.
Roo, roo.
Close enough. Pam walked into the kitchen. He's really talking. Jen worked the dough. That's the rumor, she said, her voice resigned. Pam sighed. Still not to you? Nope. I'm dealing with it. She wrinkled her nose. My counselor says to be patient, which is good advice that's hard to follow. Still, progress and all that.
You're still seeing a counselor?
Uh-huh. I've cut back to every other week. I'm going to stay on the meds through the first few months of the school year, then see if I can cut back on them. I'm already at a low dose. Honestly, I think the meditation, getting enough water and sleep are helping just as much. Being mindful of taking care of myself. Pam got Jack his drink and sat with him at a small table.
That's great, she said. I'm glad you're feeling better.
Me too. Plus, I know the anxiety will get better as I get older.
It did for you.
Pam picked up Lulu and held her close.
I don't know what you mean.
Jen didn't bother looking up from her dough. She turned it over, shrugged, then plopped it in a bowl and covered it with a dish towel.
Now you have to rise. Don't let me down.
She washed her hands, then turned to Pam.
You know how you were so tense when we were little, worried about every little thing? That went away as we grew. I wonder if it's hormone-based. I'll have to look that up.
I wasn't worried about everything, Pam told her firmly.
Jen laughed. Yeah, you were. You were always creating disaster scenarios. You still do, like with Stephen and Zoe. I understand there's a risk, but all of life is like that. Yes, they could get a divorce and he would be heartbroken, but they could also stay together for the next 80 years.
Pam wanted to say that they wouldn't live that long, but she was too busy processing what her daughter had said. No, what her daughter thought of her.
You think I was a nervous mother?
Oh, Mom, don't. We all have our thing. Yours was keeping us safe. You were worried, and that was nice. We knew you cared. I'm a lot like you. I worry, too. It's just you could manage yours on your own, and I needed help.
Pam had the sense that her daughter was trying to make her feel better, which wasn't working at all. She still couldn't believe how Jen viewed her. It was so different from how she saw herself.
I have a very full life.
I know you do. You really took care of yourself after Dad died. We wondered how you would go on, and you impressed all of us. The way you help women in business and travel with your friends. I want to be like that someday.
Jen sat on the floor next to Jack.
Hi, sweetie.
He grinned at her.
Are you drinking water? She asked.
Jack nodded.
Can you say water?
Jack just laughed.
Jen sighed.
One day, she told him, one day you'll talk to me and you won't stop, right?
He giggled. She patted her lap and Lulu jumped onto it.
Jen stroked her.
About your dog, she said.
Lulu looked at her.
Jen rubbed the side of her face. Yes, I'm talking about you, little girl.
She looked back at Pam.
I can keep her when you travel, if Shannon can't.
The entire world had gone mad, Pam thought.
You want to keep Lulu?
Uh-huh.
Do you know she's a dog? She'll pee and poop in the yard.
And I'll make Kirk clean it up. Yes, I know, Mom. I should have offered before. Jack loves her. She's a good girl, and I'm sure there will be times when Shannon can't deal with her around. I'm saying I can.
You've certainly changed.
I hope so. I'm trying. I'm going back to work in September. I can't wait to be with my class again. Kirk and I are going to start trying to get pregnant again close to Christmas. With luck this time next year, I'll be about 6 months along.
That's wonderful. I'm so happy for you.
Thanks. We're happy too. Jack is going to be a great big brother.
They continued talking, but Pam wasn't really paying attention. She was caught up in the sense of things changing and her having to struggle to keep up.
Jen was so together now, so in charge of everything happening in her life. Pam felt superfluous by comparison.
Do you talk to your brother much? She asked.
Brandon?
Jen set Lulu on the floor and pulled Jack onto her lap.
Or Stephen?
Of course, Stephen. I can talk to Brandon any time I want.
Why can't you talk to Stephen?
I don't know. He hasn't called me.
Have you called him?
I'm not the one in trouble.
Words she thought but didn't say. And the way things were changing so fast, she had a feeling Jen would disagree with her assessment.
I've been busy, Pam said defensively, not liking the sense of being in the wrong.
Besides, he's my son.
And you're his mom.
Jen's tone was gentle.
He respects you and wants you to be happy for him. If you want to blame someone for what he's doing, then be mad at yourself and Dad. You were the two teaching us to accept people and be understanding of what they were going through.
Which was close to what Stephen had said the last time she'd spoken to him.
This is different.
It's not. Jen looked at her.
You know, Zoe didn't get pregnant on purpose.
Yes, I know, I know. Everyone keeps saying that. It doesn't change anything.
It changes everything, Mom. She didn't plan on this, didn't expect it to happen. Yet there she is, taking responsibility. She's going to be a great mother, but she's got to be scared. Plus, she has to deal with Chad, and that's not going to be fun.
It's a lot.
You had Dad when you got pregnant with me. I was planned. You were both happy. She doesn't have any of that. With her mom gone, I'm the only one she can ask about having a baby, and it's not like I did a great job with Jack.
You did an amazing job. You're an excellent mother.
Jen's smile turned rueful. Thanks, but my only child will talk to everyone but me. I'm guessing that means I don't qualify for Mother of the Year.
You're being too hard on yourself.
Jen hesitated a second, drew in a breath, and said softly, Maybe you're being too easy on yourself. Pam jerked her head as if she'd been slapped. She started to stand, then forced herself to stay in place. She was already fighting with Stephen. Did she really want to be on the outs with Jen, too?
I'm not a bad person, she insisted. I care about my children.
So much that you won't accept what Stephen wants. Funny how your son won't talk to you either, Mom.
Pam felt herself flush. She reached for Lulu and then stood. I don't know what to think.
Jen rose and set Jack on his feet.
I love you, Mom.
I hope you're not mad.
I'm not. I'm...
She bit her lower lip.
I have no idea what I am.
A nervous mother who was alienating her children? That was so not how she saw herself. She sucked in a breath and told herself she wouldn't cry. Not until she was home by herself.
What do you want from me?
For you to love me and my family, and for you to let us love you back. Oh, and get off Stephen and Zoe. They need your support, your wisdom, and in time, your babysitting. Let it go, Mom. Stephen's a grown man. Don't make him choose.
Which was what Miguel had said to her. To not make him choose. Only she understood Miguel choosing his daughter, but Stephen...
Stephen would choose the woman he loved, because that was what you did when you wanted to be with someone. A child was different. You always had to side with your child, but a parent was...
Not disposable, she thought.
A parent could be left behind.
Stephen would leave her. He would choose Zoe and leave her. While he went on with his life, she would be forever out of his inner circle. She would be excluded from all that was precious to him.
The pain of that image cut through her until she thought she couldn't breathe. It was one thing to not be speaking, but if that became permanent, then what?
John would be so very ashamed of her.
The truth of that slammed into her, leaving her weak. Funny how she thought of John so much, and yet had never considered what he would say about Stephen and Zoe. She could hear his familiar voice even now.
It's not our decision to make, Pam. Fuss all you want, but at the end of the day, Stephen's going to do what he's going to do. Trust him to make the right decision, then get out of the way.
The words were so clear, she glanced around to see if he was in the room with them. Mom, are you okay?
Pam nodded, then picked up Lulu.
I'm fine. I was just thinking about your father.
I miss Dad, too.
I know you do.
She drew in a breath, then smiled.
For what it's worth,
you're not disqualified from Mother of the Year.
Okay.
Jen looked confused. What does that have to do with what we were talking about?
On the surface, nothing.
Pam hugged her daughter, then kissed the top of Jack's head.
I love you both, and I'll see you soon.
Are you okay?
Yes.
Don't worry.
With that, Pam left. When she got to her car, she hesitated for a second, then realized where she had to go and what she had to do.
Chapter 24 Pam drove to the quiet neighborhood and parked in front of Zoe's house. She picked up Lulu and went to the front door. Once there, she tried to think about what to say. When nothing came, she knew she either had to wing it or walk away, and leaving was no longer an option. She knocked and waited, thinking about the email Zoe had sent, hoping Zoe really did wish her the best. Zoe answered a few seconds later. Her eyes widened with surprise.
Pam, what are you doing here?
Pam looked at her, searching for signs of the pregnancy. Her cheeks were a little fuller, but that was pretty much it. Zoe's loose shirt didn't hint at her growing tummy.
I thought we should talk, Pam admitted. Now that I'm here, I don't know what to say. Except maybe that I want to be the person you thought I was before. I want to be friends.
Zoe didn't look convinced.
Is this because of me or because of Stephen?
So she knew they weren't speaking? Of course. Stephen would have told her what was going on. Pam never thought she would be one of those mothers who resented her children forming intimate connections. For a second, she remembered when she'd been the one Stephen had run to so she could brush away his tears and fix whatever was wrong. Those days were long gone. He was a man now, with a man's heart, one he'd obviously given to Zoe.
"Can I say both?" she asked quietly.
Zoe smiled. "I appreciate your honesty. Come on in." They went out onto her patio. Pam spotted Mason sunning himself by a raised garden bed. She set her little dog down, and Lulu trotted over to inspect the feline. Mason opened an eye, then closed it. Lulu glanced back at Pam, then inched closer to Mason and collapsed next to him.
"And here I was expecting drama," Zoe admitted. "So much for dogs and cats not getting along."
"Lulu's pretty well socialized. It takes a lot to rattle her." They sat on chairs in the shade.
"How are you feeling?" Pam asked. "Any morning sickness?"
"Not really. I had a few days of reacting to different smells, but that's gone. So far, things are easy." She held up crossed fingers. "I am hoping it stays that way."
"You're through the worst of it. After about 12 weeks, the hormones calmed down. I always assumed they were too busy growing the baby to bother with me."
"I like that idea." Pam thought about all that had happened, all the things she'd said and hadn't said directly. She decided the only way to make things right was to say all the things that had to be said.
"If you marry Stephen and then get a divorce, he has no rights over the baby," she began. "Even if he raised the child and loved him or her, he gets nothing. He has to walk away. What if it's a little girl who adores him and he needs her in his life? What if it's been 10 years or 15? He'll be destroyed."
Zoe drew in a breath. "Chad isn't going to sign away his rights. Stephen can't adopt the child."
Not news, but disappointing all the same. "That's what I worry about, him getting hurt. Chad will always be the father." Her mouth twisted. "I remember how excited John was when I told him I was pregnant for the first time. We went through all that together, he and I. We created a life. It was something we shared, would always share. Stephen doesn't have that either."
Zoe wiped away tears. "You want me to let him go? I don't think I can."
Pam searched her heart before answering. The easy answer was yes, they should break up. But she'd lived long enough to understand there weren't usually easy answers.
"No.
I want you to understand that however much you've loved your baby, I've loved Stephen just as much, but for longer, years and years. I look at you and see a young woman I like very much, but I'm so afraid."
"Afraid enough to stand between us?"
"I've already tried that," she admitted. "It didn't work out well. I've tried to keep him safe, and that's not working either. Now I have to accept what you two want." She angled toward Zoe. "I'm happy if you love him. It's everything else that concerns me. I was wrong to judge you. I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry I tried to convince him not to see you anymore. But I won't apologize for worrying about Stephen. It's part of my job."
"Because you're his mom." Pam nodded. Can we make peace with all that between us?
Zoe's eyes were bright with tears. I think we should try.
Zoe spent the afternoon researching fume-free paint and looking at furniture for babies. After Pam's visit, there was no way she was going to get any work done. About 4, she went outside and looked at her garden, at the tiny plants so recently planted. She put her hand on her belly and knew that in a few short weeks, she would feel the first stirrings of life growing inside of her. Pam hadn't been wrong. The truth was a bitch, but there it was, staring her in the face. Pam hadn't been wrong to worry, to question, to want to protect Stephen. Her points were all good ones. If she and Stephen kept going the way they were going, if they were in love, it was reasonable to think they could get married. And then what? This child that he would help raise from birth would never be his. If the worst happened and they broke up, the most Stephen could hope for was some kind of visitation. And the odds were against it. Which meant he was putting more on the line for her than she was for him. She knew she was getting ahead of herself, that things were still really new between them, but she also understood what he was looking for, and she couldn't help hoping he'd found it with her. The baby complicated everything, and yet she couldn't wish it away. Funny how so much had changed so quickly. 6 months ago, she was breaking up with Chad and wondering what she was supposed to do without him. Now she had a new career path, a baby on the way, and a wonderful man who loved her. She felt something brush against her calf and glanced down. She smiled. And you, Mason. I still have you. Her cat meowed at her, as if telling her not to forget that. Do you think you're going to like children? The slow, green-eyed blink could easily be interpreted as a yes, she thought with a chuckle.
What's so funny?
She turned and saw Stephen walking toward her. He held 2 reusable grocery bags in his hands. Cut flowers were sticking out of one. She hurried toward him. After taking one of the bags, she raised herself up on tiptoe and kissed him. You're early.
I know. I kept thinking about you, so I ducked out of work, and here I am.
He raised the bag he still held.
Ingredients for a garden salad, along with cut fruit, all organic. Free-range chicken, and a recipe for a quick marinade that my mom texted me. She says it's delicious.
He put his arm around Zoe and guided her toward the house.
I've been pissed at her and haven't talked to her since she's been back, and then she goes and texts me marinade recipes. I'm a bad son.
You're not. You've been very protective of me, and I appreciate it.
I love you, Zoe. What else would I be?
What else indeed?
They'd reached the kitchen. She put down her bag, then took his and set it on the counter as well. Then she took his hands in hers and led him to the kitchen table.
We have to talk, she told him. I have to say a few things.
His dark gaze never left her face.
Should I be worried?
No, it's not like that. I want us to be sure.
They were sitting close enough for their knees to touch. She studied his face, the handsome lines, the strength of him. He was calm, capable, and affectionate. He loved his family, his country, and he took care of his employees. He was, by all definitions, a good man.
I love you, she began.
He smiled.
Yeah?
She nodded, but when he reached for her, she shook her head.
Let me finish. I love you, Stephen. I'm so lucky to have found you.
She raised a shoulder.
Or rather, I'm so lucky your mom threw us together. You've been wonderful. But the baby complicates things.
I'm okay with the baby.
I believe you. We've talked about it so many times. I know you understand in your head what's going to happen, but I'm less sure about your heart. I need you to be completely sure that you're willing to do all this because you love me and not because you want to be a hero.
She thought he might get mad or push back, but Stephen being Stephen, he only nodded slowly.
That's a fair point, he said. I am the guy who wants to be a hero, but not this time. I'm here because of you, Zoe. If things keep going, then I know I'm taking a chance. I'm willing to do that.
She drew in a breath. If things keep going the way they're going, I'm willing to take a chance, too. I'm going to have a parenting plan in place for Chad before the baby's born. There's no way he's going to give up the rights to the baby, so you couldn't be the adoptive parent. But if we, well, I'm not saying we're going to, but if we, you know, took things further, then we could do some kind of, you know, plan.
She stumbled to a stop, not sure how to say what she was trying to say. Because, geez, it wasn't like he'd proposed or anything. Heat burned on her cheeks. Would it be too weird to suddenly stand and suggest they get going on that marinade?
He touched her cheek.
You're saying if we get married, then we could do the same kind of thing, like a prenuptial visitation agreement.
He smiled.
You're not the only one looking things up online.
Relief eased through her.
Yes, a visitation plan.
I'd like that.
He leaned in and kissed her.
Zoe, I love you.
I love you too.
He kissed her again.
We're good?
We're the best.
Pam had one more stop on her apology train. She'd been to see Zoe. She'd spoken with Stephen. Now there was just Miguel to deal with. Taking a page from the brave young women in her life, she'd texted him and asked him to meet her at the pier for a drink. He'd said yes. And now here she was, walking into a restaurant bar to meet a man. Not just any man, either. A complicated, handsome man who had kissed her. She still didn't think she was ready to start dating, but she also wasn't willing to walk away from Miguel, which left her shaking oh so slightly. He'd arrived before her. She saw him at a corner table by the window. When she approached, he stood and smiled at her.
Pamela, how beautiful you look. Such a pleasure to see you.
That voice. It wasn't fair he had that voice. It was smooth and silky and made shivers dance up and down her spine. When she was seated, he flagged the server.
May I? He asked Pamela.
She nodded and he ordered margaritas on the rocks, made with his family's tequila. Of course. She'd dressed carefully in a dark red dress that was tighter than she normally wore her clothes. It was sleeveless and just to her knee. Her low heels gave her a bit more height, but not so much that she wobbled when she walked. She'd done her hair and makeup, sprayed on a light mist of perfume, and then worried her nerves were going to make her throw up, and wouldn't that be an impression?
I spoke to Zoe, she blurted, figuring she might as well get the apology part over with. I was wrong to get between her and Stephen, and I told her that. I also explained why I was worried about what could happen if they broke up. But it's not my decision to make. I see that now. I can't protect him from everything. I have to trust him to make the right choices for him.
How did she take it?
You know she was totally gracious and forgiving.
He smiled.
I had hoped she would be, but one never knows for sure. So all is well?
It is. I hope it is. I don't know. Is it?
Ah, Pamela. He studied her. You're an interesting woman.
Interesting? Interesting? No. She wanted to be intriguing or mysterious. An article on global GDP was interesting.
Do I still frighten you?
You...
She cleared her throat.
Yes, as you do me.
Do I?
The smile returned.
You are more complicated than I'm used to. And there is the issue of you being John's wife.
You remember that?
It is impossible to forget.
I can't change who I am.
You can change a little. We all just saw that, but I know what you mean. I admire the faith of your love. In my way, I feel the same about Constance. She was special and will always be a part of me. We had Zoe together, just as you had your children. So where does that leave us?
The server returned with their drinks. Miguel waited until she picked up a glass, then touched his to hers.
I suggest we toast to possibilities and the promise of what might yet be, he said.
To possibilities?
She took a sip.
And good sex,
he added. She started to choke. After she finished coughing and put down her glass, she stared at him.
Are you serious?
He winked.
Never more so.
A thousand thoughts swirled through her mind, then a million. There was fear, confusion, worry,
and the tiniest kernel of anticipation. She'd been alone for 2 years. While she would never stop loving John, she was close to accepting that the world kept turning and dragging her along with it.
"You'd have to wear a condom," she said primly. "I've heard that people over 50 are the fastest-growing demographic for STDs."
Miguel leaned back in his chair and laughed. The hearty, happy sound came from his belly. She smiled, more than a little smug at his response.
"Oh, Pamela, you are unexpected in so many ways."
He raised his glass again.
"To us."
"To us, Miguel." The sound of the baseball game blaring on the TV competed with conversation, laughter, and Lulu and Mariposa playing some game that involved lots of running in and out of the house, not to mention barking. Jen had long since given up keeping control over the party and decided she was just going to go with it. 4th of July in Mischief Bay had dawned clear and warm, with the promise of a perfect evening for fireworks. Jen and Kirk were hosting a barbecue until sunset. Then everyone would walk over to the beach to watch the fireworks.
"Let me get the guys to carry out the kitchen table," Pam said. "Then we'll put in the leaves and it can be the buffet table."
"Perfect. I have paper plates in the pantry."
Her mother raised her eyebrows.
"Paper plates? They're biodegradable. I got the good ones."
Jen also got the point. She didn't like paper plates. She didn't like loud parties and dogs running through her house. Or at least she hadn't. Part of getting better was learning to let go. It had taken her a while, but she'd finally figured out that when she stopped trying to control the world, she had a whole lot less anxiety. Oh, it hadn't gone away. There were still nights she woke up from a dead sleep with her heart pounding and the horrible sensation of being unable to breathe. But those events were more and more rare. Every day she practiced her coping skills. She took care of herself, had her quiet mind time, and took her meds. Sometimes it really did take a village to get through life. Kirk and Stephen carried the table outside. Her mom put down a plastic tablecloth, then set out the paper plates. Jen got the platter of raw hamburgers from the refrigerator and took it outside.
"We have meat," her husband called. "Meat because we are men."
He took the tray, then kissed her.
"And women."
Desire sat in the shade with Zoe and Miguel. Lucas walked by carrying Jack, fireman style. Her son shrieked with laughter.
"Careful," Jen said with a tilt of her head. "Someone might be trying to steal your girlfriend."
"Miguel's too into Pam," Lucas said without looking. "We all know it."
They did. The older couple, while discreet, was obviously taking things to the next level. Not that she wanted to know what that meant. Let Stephen deal with the whole old people having sex if he was so concerned. And speaking of her brother, things were going well with Zoe. Her mom had calmed down and accepted what seemed to be the inevitable. They were all in a good place, she thought happily. Kirk was loving his job and she was dealing with it. They were making love regularly now. It was as if that one explosive moment had broken through whatever had been keeping them from each other. She returned to the kitchen to get the hot dogs. Stephen followed her.
"Jen, can I ask you a favor?"
"Sure."
She handed him the hot dogs, then went into the pantry to collect the buns. When she stepped back into the kitchen, her brother had put down the plate. His expression was serious.
"What? What's wrong? Are you sick? Is everything okay with the baby?"
"Relax. You sound like Mom."
"There are worse things."
"What is it?"
"I want some help."
He glanced over his shoulder.
"You can't say anything, but I want to get Zoe a ring."
His grin turned sheepish.
"An engagement ring."
"What?"
Her voice echoed through the kitchen. She lowered it to whisper.
"Sorry, you're going to propose?"
"I am."
She flung herself at him.
"Good for you. That's so great. Yes, of course I'll come with you. She's going to want to wait until after the baby's born to get married, just so you know."
"You've talked about it?"
"No, but it's a girl thing."
She hung on to him.
"My little brother getting married. You're so grown up."
"Thanks." He looked at her. "You can't tell anyone. I mean it. Except Kirk. Promise?"
"I swear."
"Good."
He grinned.
I'm really happy.
Me too. He took the hot dogs and buns out onto the patio. Jen did a little dance in her kitchen. When she turned, she saw Jack smiling at her. He gestured to the refrigerator. She dropped to a crouch. Hey, little man, are you thirsty? What would you like? Use your words, please. Because that was what all the articles said, to ask for words. So she did, a dozen times a day, all to no avail. Jack pointed to the refrigerator again, then smiled at her.
Milk, Mommy, please.
She dropped onto her butt and stared at him. Her brain replayed the statement. He'd said milk. He'd said Mommy. He'd said please. At least she was pretty sure it was please and not peas. She wanted to grab him close and hug him and scream to the world, My son spoke to me. Only the voice in her head said not to make a big deal of it. So she smiled and stood. Milk, it is. She poured milk into a sippy cup and handed it to him.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Together they walked out of the kitchen and joined the party. This is Tanya Eby. We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of A Million Little Things by Susan Mallory. This program was produced by Elgin Productions. Executive producer, Suzanne Mitchell. Text copyright, 2017 by Susan Mallory, Inc. Production copyright, 2017 by Harlequin Enterprises Limited. Used under license with Harlequin Books, S.A. All rights reserved. Thank you for listening.